Morning, I want to share with you something that is heavy on my heart. And I want you, you've already asked the Lord to open your eyes because you said that you wanted to see the Lord. Well, you understand that the only place you're going to see Him is in yourself and in the folk that are around about you. So I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 1. To see what God's plan and purpose for us was when He created us. Well, this is very important, and it's something that we've taken little notice of, and maybe most of us have not even thought about it, but this is God's plan and purpose for your life. So in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it said, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God blessed them. Then He said something to them. He said, I want you to be fruitful and to multiply and to fill the earth. Have you ever thought about it? That's your purpose for being in the world. To be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. This morning I'm going to ask the question, what is God saying to us? For this is God's will and purpose for His people in the world today, for this generation. Be fruitful and multiply. Now most people have the idea that, you know, God said, well, Adam, go out there, find yourself a wife, get married, and have a bunch of kids. And then you'll fill the earth. And somehow we've kind of felt, well, that was about like what it was. That's what God wanted us to do. But I want to tell you, that's got nothing much to do with it. Turn with me to the Epistle of James, chapter 1. Epistle of James, chapter 1. And verse 18. And this concerns you. Well, this is what he says about you. He says, of his own will begat he us. God begat us. Out of his own will. God did not chase around the heavens trying to find somebody with whom he could cohabit in order to reproduce. For God is male and female. And out of himself and out of his own personal will, he begat you. So if he's telling you to be fruitful and to multiply, he must be telling you to do it the same way. For you see, when man was created, he was created male and female. God never created a woman. He created man. Or mankind, if you like. And that man, or mankind, was male and female. Which meant that they did not, Adam did not need anybody in order to reproduce. And I want to tell you today, every one of you people here are male and female. And every one of you have the ability to reproduce. Without any help from another soul. You understand? So if God made that to be the thing that He required of us, to be fruitful and multiply, we need to be doing it. But I don't see a whole lot of it going on today. Of course, we believe that every knee will bow. We believe that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. How's it going to happen? Well, God's just going to wave His wand out of heaven somewhere and make it all happen. We can't do that, Lord. I want to tell you, you're going to birth every single one of them. You're going to birth them all. And then we will fill the earth. Listen to what he says. This is James again, verse 18, chapter 1. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. The word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruits of the God kind. Or the himself kind, if you like. We are to be the first fruits of a people that are the God kind. Now we must be the God kind of people first. Are we the God kind of people? Yes, because he begat us of his own will. He brought us forth out of himself. You are the same substance as what God is. You are that same substance. You came out of God. You were created back there in the beginning. For Paul tells us that you were created in Christ Jesus back there in the beginning. You were created in him. You came out of God. Therefore, you are the God kind of people. But what does he mean by the God kind of people? What, that we're just mortal human beings? No, that's not the God kind of people. For you see, if we came out of God, we must be what he is. And God is spirit. That's what you are. So when we reproduce, we must reproduce after our own kind. Well, what have we done? We've reproduced after our own kind, but we've reproduced after the kind of being a mortal human being that was born of a woman, flesh and blood. And we've reproduced after that kind. And we've reproduced our children, or we've birthed our children. But see, they also were flesh and blood. They also were mortal human beings. And God said, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I want to fill the earth with. I want to fill this earth with the God kind of people. You hearing this?
Yes.
The God kind of people. Then how in the world are we going to do that? Well, he already told you that you are male and female. Go back now to Genesis chapter 2. And it says in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he slept, and he slept, and he's still sleeping. And while he slept, and this is all the Adamic dream now, while he slept, he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh. Of course, it was not a rib. It was that female part of his being that he took out of Adam at that time. Well, according to the dream anyway. And it says here that he brought her, out of that he made a woman, and he brought her to Adam. And he said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now there's two of them. There was only one in the beginning. God only created man who was male and female. Now there's two of them. You've got a duality. And what is the next thing? Well, the next thing is that Adam called her woman because she was taken out of the man. That's Ish, if you like, in the Hebrew language. And, of course, the woman is Isha because she came out of the man. And what does God say next? Well, he says something here that's really right out of place. I mean, I don't know why God put this verse here in Genesis chapter 2. He said, for this cause would a man leave his father and his mother and would cleave unto his wife, and the two would become one flesh. Come on, Adam, you've just become two now. And God says, I'm trying to get you back to become one again. So a man would have to leave his mother and father. We use this, I mean, I've married many people over the years. I always use this verse. Why in the world was it put in Genesis 2? I mean, there's only Adam there, after all said and done, and he's telling him to get married. Well, because you see, there had been a separation according to the Adamic dream. He had been separated. The man and the woman, the male and the female had been separated. And you've lived that way ever since. Ever since you were born. You considered yourself to be a living soul. But Christ is in you. Somebody told you that. Of course, you read it in the Word. Christ in you is the hope of glory. So you knew Christ was in there, but you still believed you were a living soul. You lived out of your soul, your mind, your emotion, and your will. And that's how you function. And when you live as a living soul, you are a mortal human being. That means you are born and you're going to die. That means you came from the dust and you're going to go back to the dust. That's not the God kind of people. That's not the God kind of people. That's not how you were created. You were created as spirit. But you live in a body. But you are spirit. Spirit is the God kind of people. Because God is spirit. And if we came out of him, that's what we are. So what's he saying? You've got to leave your father and mother. What is he talking about? What is God really saying to us? See, we read it, it's just ink on the paper here. We read it, leave your mother and father. Yeah, well, when I grew up, I said, okay, I'm going to find me a wife. So I looked out there and I found me a wife. This year we've just chalked up 50 years of married bliss. Wonderful. And you see, when I found my wife, I said, well, you know, what about some children? She said, great idea, let's go. So we did. And we had 5 children. Now we got 17 grandchildren. Now we've got 1 great-grandchild. And we're still going on. You see? But that's not the God kind of people. That was not what God said to Adam, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That was, you were intended to do that. Adam was intended, but see, he didn't make it. He became mortal himself and died. What does it mean to leave your mother and father? It means you've got to abandon the idea of an egg and a sperm from which you came. Because that's what your mother and father represent. Your mother and father represent an egg and a sperm. That's where you came from in your natural birth. That's where you came from. He said you've got to leave your mother and father. You've got to leave the whole concept that you were birthed through an egg and a sperm. Because you were not created out of an egg and a sperm. You were created out of God. You were spirit. God spoke you into existence out of himself. Of his own will begat he us. Well, what are we going to do? Well, I want to show you now a couple of illustrations through the Bible. First of all, turn to Genesis chapter 16, or chapter 15, I'm sorry. Genesis chapter 15. And Abram said to the Lord, in verse 2, he said, what are you going to give me, seeing I am childless? I go childless. I don't have an heir. All of these wonderful blessings you've given to me, all of this stuff you've been talking about, making me of a great nation, blessing me and allowing my seed to become the stream of blessing to the ends of the earth. What am I going to do with all this stuff? I haven't got any heir to leave it to. Have you got any heir that you can leave that which you are in God? Because you don't do that just through your natural birth. My kids were mortal human beings too. Because they came from an egg and a sperm. But see, here, Abram's saying, I don't have any children, Lord. What am I going to do with all of these blessings and the covenant that you made with me? Is that going to die when I die? Is that going to be finished? So he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Lord. I'm going to let you off the hook this time. I'm just going to make my servant Eliezer my heir. God said, just a minute, Abram, come outside here, will you? Have a look up there. Will you see those stars up there? Can you count them? No, sir, I can't. Well, so shall thy seed be. Abram, just look up there. So shall thy seed be. Listen, folk, would you just look up by faith for a moment into the starry sky? And I want to tell you, so shall your seed be. He was not just talking to Abraham here. He's talking to you. Your seed will be as the stars of heaven. In number? Yes, sir. In quality? Yes, sir. For this will be a heavenly people. Can you hear this? You've got to see yourself in this man, Abraham. Because he's the father of the faithful. Are we not the faithful today? Well, he's our father. And the Lord just said to him, Abraham, you're grizzling to me that you don't have an heir. Can you count those stars up there? Your seed will be as the stars of heaven. He's talking to you. Come on, he's talking to you. Your seed will be as the stars of heaven. So he goes home and he says, Sarah, get ready, we're going to have a child. Sarah said, you're nuts. I mean, you're crazy. No, I'm not, because God told me. God told you. Well, of course, he doesn't understand about women. You know, he doesn't know that the machinery shuts down, you know, after a while. And, you know, it's not possible to keep on bearing children. You come to that place where it just doesn't work anymore. And I'm 90 years old. Come on, Abraham, I'm 90. You know, God's forgotten all about that. She said, I'll tell you what to do, because we can't make God look a fool. I mean, if God said it, it's got to be true. Okay, I'll tell you what to do. Verse 2, Sarah says, behold, now the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I pray, go thee in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah, and went into Hagar, and she conceived. But this was an egg and a sperm. But when this boy was born, his name was Ishmael. And what did Abraham do? He said, oh, that Ishmael may live before you forever. Lord, have a look. This is my son and heir. God said, no, he's not. He's got nothing to do with it. He's not your son and heir. But Lord, you told me I was going to have seed as the stars of heaven. And here it is. I mean, here's the first one. He doesn't even resemble a star, not this one. He's made from an egg and a sperm. He's not heavenly at all in his conception. You hearing this? He was born of an egg and a sperm. There was Abraham and there was Hagar. And he produces a child. No trouble. Why? Because she was just an ordinary woman. She was a slave girl, actually. And he thinks that's going to be his heir. God said, forget it. So one day there was a visitation again. In chapter 18, just look at it quickly. Verse 9, these three visitors said to Abraham, where is Sarah your wife? He said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door that was behind him. And she was getting pretty old. Verse 12, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child when I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No, of course not. Of course not. And Sarah laughed. I don't believe that was a laugh of doubt. I believe that Sarah laughed the laugh of faith. Because I've laughed with her many times. I've laughed the same laugh when God told me what he was going to do. Not the laugh that says, hey, I don't believe you, God. But the laugh that said, God, you're just too wonderful. You can do just anything. I want to tell you, beloved, I've seen God do many wonderful, wonderful things. I've never done a miracle in my life. Des Waller could never do a miracle. Because, you see, he wasn't able to. But I want to tell you, there's someone that lives in me that can do anything. Is anything too hard for the Lord? He dwells in me. He dwells in you. He can do anything. Don't limit God. And so what happens? Well, it says here that Sarah conceived. You can imagine, now can't you, leaning over the fence, saying to a neighbor, "Hey, I'm pregnant." You know. And the neighbor saying, "You better not tell everybody that, they'll lock you up." 90 years of age, Abraham's 100. I want to tell you, the boy was born and his name was Isaac. But I want to tell you, that was not the birth of an egg and a sperm. That was an immaculate conception. An immaculate conception. How do I know? Chapter 21. I'm sorry, 22. And it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. He said, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." He said, "Take now your only son, the only son that you've got, the one you love, and get into the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering." Offer him there as a burnt offering. This is your only son. I mean, I've already rejected Ishmael, so this is your only son. And Lord, you want me to take him up there and offer him? Yes, sir, that's what I want you to do. So they went up there. Abraham was obedient. And he marched up there with his servants and with the donkey. And as they're going up the mountain, he left the boys at the bottom, the servants, he left the donkey down there. And he said, "I'm going up there to worship. We're going up to worship. So a little along the way, I'm going to tell you what worship really is. Because we like to worship, don't we? But how do you worship? Well, we just do it like everybody else does it. I want to show you what worship is." Abraham's gone up the mountain there. He's got Isaac. And Isaac said to him, "You've got the knife, you've got the wood, you've got the fire, but where's the offering?" And Abraham says, "The Lord will provide himself a lamb." So they get up on the top of the mountain. This is worship. What does he do? He builds an altar. The first thing you do when you want to worship God is build an altar. I'm not talking about literally, but I'm talking about in your own heart, you are building an altar. What for? Because there's got to be a sacrifice. You cannot worship God without a sacrifice. It's impossible. For worship is offering unto the Lord. It is giving unto the Lord out of yourself. It's not just saying, "Lord, I love you." It's not just saying, "God, I worship you." It's giving something unto him. Now, when Jesus came into the world, he said, he didn't want all of the blood sacrifices of Israel because they were all dead sacrifices. So what are you going to give to God? "Well, Lord, I'll give you my tithe." He said, "That's not what I want." "I'll give you my time, Lord." "No, that's not what I want." "I'll give you my talents." "No," he said, "that's not what I want either." "Well, what am I going to give you, Lord?" Well, Jesus said, "You didn't want the sacrifice and offering, but you gave me a body." Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And the Apostle Paul tells us what it is that God requires. The only offering that you can make that is acceptable unto the Lord. The only offering. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship." You got it? You do not worship God. I don't care what you do. You can raise your hands. You can shout hallelujah, praise the Lord. You can sing up and down the scales as much as you like. But you do not worship unless you've got an offering. And every time you worship, you must present your body a living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. You hearing this? So Abram's on the top of the mountain, and he's bringing an offering. And the offering is his son, his only son that he's got. And he puts him on the altar. And what happens? He's about to bring down the knife to kill his son. And the Lord said, "Don't touch him, Abram. I never intended that you had to kill him. I just wanted to know whether you recognized who belonged to this, whose boy this was. Because Abram, if you thought that was your boy and you could do with him what you like, you're wrong. He's mine. I gave him to you. It's not the birth of an egg and a sperm. This was an immaculate conception." So he takes Isaac off the altar and they go back home. And as they're walking back home, you know, they're walking there together, but this is not Abraham and Isaac any longer. But he's birthed the Christ. Can you hear this? He birthed the Christ. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. The generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You hear this? So here we have the first man that began to do what God told Adam to do in the beginning. I want you to multiply, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth. But you have to fill it with the God kind of people. Abraham did it. Abraham did it. It was an immaculate conception. It was not an egg and a sperm. Now turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. And verse 26, in the sixth month, there was a messenger called Gabriel that was sent from God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin. Why a virgin? Because if you want to reproduce for God, you've got to be a virgin. You hear this? You've got to be a virgin. And you are all virgins in the eyes of God. I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. You are all virgins. Why? Because the womb, the soul of man, is the womb of creation. And you have not yet brought forth anything in that womb that God wants. I'm not talking physically now. I'm not talking about you women and the natural womb that you have. I'm talking about the soul, which is the female part of every one of you. It is the womb of creation. And it's in that womb that you will birth what God requires to fill the earth. And you haven't done it yet. You have not done it yet. But I'll tell you what you have done. You see, when you were young, when you were a child, what did you do? You looked up into the face of your mother and your father, and you began to look at them, watch them, see what they did, how they did it, see their actions and reactions, see how they lived their life, see what kind of people they were. And what did you do? Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you what I did. I birthed that person that I believed I was. I birthed Des Walter. I birthed that man. My father was a very nervous man. My father was had a lack of self-image. I mean, he had a problem in that area. Very clever up here, but not too good in the other areas of life. He didn't know much about love either. And so I birthed that person that I believed I was. My father had migraine headaches. What do you think I had? I had migraine headaches. I was a nervous person. I was exactly what my father was. I birthed him. I birthed that person that I became. And that was my identity. That was Des Walter. And every one of you have done the same thing. I want to tell you, that person you thought you were is not what God made you to be. It had nothing to do with God. You birthed it because you are a living soul, and your soul is the womb of creation. And in that womb you birthed what you believed yourself to be. But you didn't get the seed from God. Where did you get it from? I don't know. You didn't need a seed because the person you birthed was fictitious anyway. There's no reality to the person you birthed. There's no reality to the person you birthed in that womb. None at all. First of all, it was not a reality at all. I thought he was. And for 40 years I lived out of the Des Walter personality, the Des Walter person. I suffered with migraine headaches, I suffered with a whole heap of stuff. See, and I was just Des Walter. I birthed that person, and you have birthed your identity that you're living out of today. You have birthed it. But see, that wasn't what God said to Adam. I want you to be fruitful and fill the earth with the God kind of people. And what have we done? We've filled the earth with the human kind of people, with the mortal kind of people, with the flesh and blood kind of people, with the people that get cancer, the people that get hay fever, the people that get depression, the people that have all kinds of problems, and the people that are born and going to die. That's what we have birthed, and we have filled the earth with them. You're all virgins, because you've not yet birthed anything that came from God. You understand? You've not yet birthed it. You say, well, Christ is in me. Oh, I know that. I can tell you that. The problem is it doesn't make any difference. Even when you know. See, we say, well, the people out in the world there, Christ is in them too, you know. But see, they don't know it. And that's why they live like they do. Well, tell me, why do you live like you do? Why do you get sick? Why do you get cancer? Why do you have all these problems? Why do you get headaches? Why do you have all the problems? Because you birthed the person with the problem. You have birthed the person that really has no true reality and no true reality in God. That's your humanity. You have birthed your humanity. The person that said, like the Apostle Paul, the things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, they're the things I do. God help us. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Let's get rid of it. And let's start doing what God said. I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with the God kind of people. There was a messenger, an angel, it says here, Luke chapter 1, who went to this little place called a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man who was called Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was? Put your name in there. Never mind about Mary. Come on, put your name in there. Because you're the virgin. And the virgin's name is? There's Walter. Put your name in there. Because God's speaking to you this morning. This is not a history book. God hasn't recorded this just to tell us what happened way back there. He's telling us, this is what I want you to do. I want you to begin to birth the reality that you want this world to be. What is the law of first fruits? The law of first fruits is that whatever the first fruits of the harvest, that is, those stalks of wheat or corn, whatever they are, that have become mature before the rest of the harvest, before you put the harvester in there to harvest the crop, these little stalks are already mature. And what did they do? They had to pick them. Israel picked them and waved them in the temple before the Lord. Why? Because the law of first fruits is whatever those first fruits are, that's what the whole harvest will be. Can you hear this? And we are the first fruits company. What does it mean? Hey, tell me. Do you want all the people out in the world to be just like you, as you are now? Uh-oh. Well, we're the first fruits company. And we're living out of a fake life, just like they are out there. The world looks in here, and what's it see? It sees people sick, sees people that are divorced, see people with kids that have gone wild. See, people that get on drugs and all sorts of things, and why would I want to come join you? you know much better than us. You tell lies, we tell lies. We get into trouble, you get into trouble. We get a ticket from the police, you get a ticket from them. What? See, we are the first fruits company. Can you hear this? God's speaking to you this morning. This is not Death Walter just getting excited. I want to tell you, there's a burden on my heart as I'm sharing this with you this morning. You've got to face, we've got to face this. I am facing this in myself. That God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So what does the Apostle Paul say? He says in Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, my little children of whom I travail in birth. Paul said, I'm travailing in birth. He was a virgin until Christ be formed in you. Of course, he had to have that Christ formed in him first. And then we reproduce after our kind. Up to now, we have reproduced after our kind, but not the God kind. You married people, we've all had children. And we like to think our kids were perfect, but we found out they weren't. Not quite, anyway. And in chapter 1 of Galatians and verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, he was born of an egg and a sperm. See, he's telling you that. He was separated from his mother's womb. But he said, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, he said, I cut my tie with flesh and blood. Because, you see, Christ was being formed in him. Everybody likes to believe Christ is in me. Christ is in me. And it's true. I'm not denying it. Christ is in you. But I want to tell you, the fact that Christ is in you is not going to transform your life. You've got to begin to experience that life which is the Christ life. And to do that, you have to birth the Christ. Just as the Apostle Paul did. He birthed the Christ in himself. How do we do that? Because the soul is the womb of creation. And what are we bringing forth? We are bringing forth the new creation man. For if any man be in that Christ, not just Christ in you, see, that's what we run around with, Christ in me, the hope of glory, Christ in me. He said, but when you're in Christ, that's a different thing altogether. Because if you're in Christ, then you're going to live out of the Christ. And that Christ must be formed in you. Paul said that's what he was doing with the Galatians. He wanted to see the Christ formed in them. I am here this morning, beloved. I am here today, all the way from Australia, to tell you that God wants to separate you from your mother's womb and from the egg and the sperm idea. He wants to make you so that you can bring forth after your true identity, which is the Spirit. So this little girl, whose name in this case was Mary, but it's your name here today. This is the year 2002. This is in the United States of America. And God is speaking to you and he's saying to you, he said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Can you hear this? You are highly favored. You are much graced. I want to tell you, you're not here by chance this morning. And I want to also tell you this, that you will never forget this word. You will never forget it. It will haunt you to your dying day if you don't put it into practice. You won't get rid of it because it's a seed that will be in your heart. Not because Des Walter's preaching it, come on. But because the Spirit of God is speaking it into your spirit today. See, he said, you are highly favored. Blessed art thou among women. We've been blessed of God. That God should have chosen you out of the millions in the world to become a first fruits company, to be a demonstration to the world what God wants to do. Come on. We have not yet become that demonstration. We talk about the manifestation of the sons. We say, hallelujah, the day is coming when we're going to be the manifest sons of God. How are you going to be the manifest sons of God? Is God just going to wave his magic wand over you? No, you are going to bring forth. You are going to conceive and bring forth this Christ of God. And you will live out of that one that you have formed in your womb. This is a divine experience. Listen to this. She was troubled. Verse 32, 30. The angel said, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God this morning. You have found favor with God. He said, I'm going to let you do something that this world doesn't even understand. They don't know anything about it. They're still living as mortal men out there. They're still having to take the pills for their migraine headaches. They're still having to go for chemotherapy because they've got cancer. They're still going to the doctors. They're still dying. They're still digging holes out in the cemetery. See? It's all going on out there waiting for us to set the pace. Somebody has to begin to birth this Christ. And then you can reproduce after your kind. That is, after the Christ kind. You will reproduce. Listen, in your Sunday schools, in your ministry, in your evangelism, what are you reproducing? If you're reproducing out of your old identity, forget it. I did it for 40 years and I can tell you, it's not much fun. I used to go to places, to churches, when I was in evangelism, and they'd ask us to come in there and do a 7-day mission. And we'd have children's meetings in the afternoon. We'd have hundreds of kids come. We'd go to the school and give out pamphlets there and stuff, you know. And then at night we'd have all the people would come and we'd put on, I used to do magic then in those days with Christian, you know, it was what we called Christian magic anyway. Tricks that just demonstrated the truth of God. I used to do lightning sketching. I did a whole heap of stuff. And we'd have at the end of the week maybe, you know, 30, 40 people who have come to Christ. And the old pastor would pat us on the back and say, wonderful. Well, you've done a great job, you know. So I'd go back a year later. I'd say, how about those 40 people? How are they going? Oh, brother, you know how it is. Most of them are gone. One or two maybe still there. I was in a crusade in Indonesia several years ago. 150,000 people. In this great football stadium, 150,000 people. One of your American preachers was there. He had his doctors and he had his television crew. He had the whole bit there. They had a pile of cards this high at the end of that. They said that there were thousands of Hindus and Muslims that had been converted. And I knew many of the boys that were counselors and that team and so on. And the next year when I went back, I said to them, the first thing I want you to tell me, what's happened? What about all those people that came to Christ? They said, well, I said, is there any increase in the church, you know, attendances and so on? They said, very little. I said, you mean to say that it cost all that money? I mean, that guy must have hired at least 2 747s to get all his stuff over there. I don't know what it cost. To hire that stadium, the whole thing. And what are we reproducing? We're reproducing that which just seems to melt away into the nothings. But listen, it's not going to be like that. It's not like that. I want to tell you, God has changed me. And I'm ministering out of a different spirit now. I'm ministering out of the Christ, not out of Des Walter. I've seen what Des Walter could do, and I tell you, it's not very impressive. But I've also seen what Christ can do, and I tell you, I want more of it. I want more of it. Listen, he said to this woman, he said, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And you'll call his name Jesus. You'll conceive in your womb. What's he talking about? Your soul. That's the womb of creation. And in that womb, you will birth the Christ. And so he says here, you'll bring forth a son and you'll call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save you. That's what it means. He'll save you from what? Your sins. Oh yeah, he can do that. But he'll save you from the corruption that's in the world. He'll save you from the pollution that's in the air. He'll save you from all the sicknesses that are in the world. He'll save you from death itself. He will save you, but you have to birth him. And the reason why we've not been freed from all these things is because we've just been happy to say, oh, Christ is in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But it hasn't changed your life. You still get your headaches. You still get sickness. You still have problems. Why? Because you've got Christ dwelling in here, but you've never dwelt in Christ. You have not birthed the Christ, which is your true identity. You've got Christ in here, but you're living out of the old identity. There's Walter, the mortal human being, the one that came from our mother's womb, the person we thought we were when we looked at our parents and our uncles and aunties, our grandmothers and grandfathers and all our nieces and nephews. We looked at all of them and we brought up this picture. This is who I am. And we've lived out of it. I wonder why it's not really had much effect. There's a man up in Seattle who emailed me from there. And he told me his story. He said, I'm a drug addict. I have been for many years. 22 years of age. He grew up in a dysfunctional family. Totally dysfunctional. The only person that took any notice or care of him was his grandmother, who loved the Lord. And this boy, he wrote to me, he said, I'm a drug addict. He said, I sleep until midday every day. And then he said, I get up, and by the time I get cleaned up and so on, he said, I start to get drunk. He said, I buy alcohol, and I just get drunk. Every night I'm drunk. So between the drugs and the alcohol, he said, I've slept with so many women in Seattle, he said, I wouldn't know how many, I wouldn't even know who they all were anymore. He said, can you help me? He said, my life is just a total mess. He said, but strangely, something inside me says I love God. But he said, I don't know. He talked to people. People are giving him books and all sorts of stuff. I said, brother, I'm not going to be able to really help you just writing you a letter by email. I said, somebody has to sit down beside you and minister to you. And I said, there must be somebody there in Seattle. This was only about a week before I left to come over here. So lo and behold, I come over here. My first stop is Denver. And who do you think's there? This boy is there in the meeting. He flew down. He went down at 6 o'clock in the morning to catch the plane, and he went to the gate and he went back. He couldn't get on the plane. He said, I was totally convinced in here. Something convinced me. It was going to crash. I wasn't getting on that plane, not for anybody. So he went back and he waited for the next plane. He booked on that one. And he went to the gate again. He said, I just couldn't get on it. I turned around and went back. They're getting a bit tired of him by this time. Anyway, they booked him on another plane. And this time he said, listen, I've got to get down there to see Des Walter. I don't care if the plane crashes at this point. He said, I'm just going to go. He got on the plane. He came down there. You were there. And that boy, I ministered to him in the evening. I just put my arms around him. I began to tell him how much God loved him. He just began, something broke inside him. And after a short period of time, he said, I know I'm free. I said, how do you know? He said, because I know inside me something has happened. So he was there for the rest of the meetings that weekend. And before he went home, he rang his girlfriend. He's got a girlfriend. She was a Christian girl. He said, I took her into drugs because I wanted her to be with me. He rang his girlfriend, told her what had happened, and then handed me the phone. He said, I want you to talk to my girlfriend. So I talked to his girlfriend, and I told her how much God loved her, and that God wasn't angry with her, and that God was not judging her because she'd gone into drugs and so on. But I said, today God loves you, and I said, God's going to set you free. So he went home. I have a letter in my bag. Most wonderful letter. Because when I finished ministering to him, I said to him, now, I said, do you believe that God loves you? He said, yes. I said, how do you know? He said, because you tell me. I said, that's not good enough. Well, he said, I believe the God in you. He said, this was just after I'd ministered to him. He said, I believe the God in you is real. So he said, I believe you because the God in you told me that I was set free and that God loved me. And I said, okay, if it's got to start there, well, I said, it's not going to end there. Of course, before the weekend was over, God had just done a beautiful thing in his life. There was a woman just a little while ago in a family setting, a community is what you call it. And this woman has grown up in a dysfunctional family. She got married to an alcoholic. She became an alcoholic. She got onto drugs also. She buried her son not too long ago, who died in a car accident because he was blind drunk, and he was killed, and she said, I'm to blame. She said, I look at my kids. She said, I'm to blame for what they are today. She said, I'm to blame because my husband's still an alcoholic. She said, my life's just a total mess. She said, and I don't know how to fix it. I said, God will fix it for you. Again, the Lord just ministered to her, set her free. See, beloved, I'm telling you, I was a pastor. I was an evangelist. I was all of those things until I was 40 years of age. I began to preach before I was 12 years old. And I never saw God do any of those kind of things. I mean, it was blood, sweat, and tears, you know. Even in evangelism, you have to learn the art, how to get the people walk the aisle, how to get people to come to the altar. And you learn the psychology of the thing. I could get them out. People said, Dad, you're a great evangelist, you know. But what was I reproducing? I was reproducing out of myself. Oh, God was very gracious, and I'm sure some of them really made it in God. But that was because of the grace of God, not because of me. But listen, beloved, this is a new day. This is a new day. We're living in a new era. This is the day when God is bringing forth a people that are a first fruits company, and the rest of the harvest is going to be what we are. And therefore, something's got to give. We cannot just keep ministering as we are. So, you call his name Jesus. Verse 32. He shall be great. This is the one that you are reproducing. You say, how in the world can I reproduce? I'm a virgin. I've got to have something. Yes, you've got to have something. You've already got it, the seed. What did Paul say? When Abraham, God said to Abraham, in thee and in thy seed will all the nations of the earth be blessed. In thee and in thy seed. Not the seed of Des Wilder, not your seed as a human being, but the seed of Abraham and that seed which came from him, which was Christ. See? Galatians 3, verse 16. Not seeds as of many, but one seed, which is Christ. And Christ is in you. You've got the seed. That's all you need. You don't need an egg and a sperm to reproduce Christ. You've got the seed that's been planted in you. All you have to do now is to allow it to conceive. And it will bring forth. When the Apostle Paul said, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. What was he talking about? Knowing about God? No. Intellectually knowing God? No. He was talking about a knowledge of God which can only come out of relationship. And the relationship that is indicated by that word to know means when a man and a wife come together to reproduce. That's what the word means. You can look up your Strong's Concordance, you'll see it. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word, yoda, is the same word in the Hebrew language. And that's in Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife. So what does it mean? It means that you have to enter into a relationship with God. And in that relationship, your life begins to entwine with his. And the two become the one. And in this, there is a conception. In this relationship. it happens as you find that relationship which is beyond the academic, beyond the knowledge, beyond verses in the Bible, or the Hebrew, or the Greek, or whatever. It's beyond all of that. It's a relationship that you enter into, like the Shulamite woman said, "I'm looking for my beloved." And when she found him, she said, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." And he took her into the conception chamber, and they made love. And beloved, when you make love with the Lord, something will be conceived. And what will it be? It'll be Christ. Christ is what is conceived when you make love with the Lord. Can you hear this? This is reality. I'm not talking to you like a bunch of school children today. I'm talking to you because God has brought you here. He laid this message on my heart. I woke up in the middle of the night. I don't know for how long. And this is exactly what the Lord told me. He said, "This is what you're going to be preaching today," and he doesn't often do that. I usually don't know until I get right into the meeting to know what God wants to share. But I knew last night. He said, "I want to tell you, you've got to tell these people that they are yet to bring forth out of that womb of creation that which I desire. You've not brought it forth yet, beloved. You haven't brought it forth yet. I have not completely birthed this Christ, but I want to tell you, I have conceived him. He is already conceived in my life, and I am beginning to function out of it. I have seen all sorts of things happen. There was a lady over in India there, brought a little baby along, laid it in my arms one morning outside a little thatched roof church building. She laid that baby there and told the pastor beside me, 'This baby is 5 days old. It, for 2 days it has not gone to the breast, it hasn't suckled, it hasn't had water, it hasn't had any kind of food, it hasn't moved an arm, hasn't moved a leg, it's not opened its eyes, it hasn't cried for 2 days. I'm looking at this child. I thought it's near enough to dead. So what do I do? Well, I don't say much these days when I pray. I don't really say much. I don't tell God to have her on the world. Now, I mean, I could have stood there and said, 'God, you know, this baby's sick.' That's dumb. Doesn't God know the babies? Of course he knows more about it than I do. So I'm not even going to bother telling him. But just in my heart, and just like the Lord said, just hold him close to you. Why? Because, see, Christ is in you. This is the temple of God, and he's high and lifted up, and his train is filling the temple. Lord, just let your glory shine upon this little one. Just let enough light come out, Father, just to shine on this little one, and this little one will be fine." So I did. I never said a word. The pastor was standing there waiting for me to pray for the baby. I gave it back to the mother, and she took the baby and went home. And the next morning she called in at the pastor's house and said, "Would you please thank that man that prayed for my baby?" Because she said, "I took the baby home and it went to the breast and it began to suckle and it began to move and it began to move its arms. It opens its eyes and it's fine." See? How does that happen, beloved? It happens because of the Christ. I'm beginning to live another life. I'm not living the Des Walter life anymore. See, and that's what I did for all those years as a pastor, mind you. As a pastor, I was living out of that old, non-real identity. It was fictional. Because there is no such person as Des Walter. God never created a flesh and blood man. You know that? He never created a flesh and blood man. That was formed with the mind of man. It was formed by the mind of man. So, this Christ, he says to this woman, "He shall be great. He shall be great." Come on. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So what about all the corruption? Forget about it. Forget about it. See, they told me about 8-9 years ago that I had to have open heart surgery. The doctor stood across there, or sat across the table, and he said to me, "Mr. Walter, if you don't have this surgery to fix the arteries of your heart, you will die." I said, "Doctor, I'm going overseas next week." He said, "Mr. Walter, you're going nowhere." He said, "If you don't have this operation," he said, "I can tell you, you will die." I said, "Thank you very much." And I went home and I said, "Lord, did I get it wrong? Did you really want me to go overseas?" He said, "I haven't changed my mind." I said, "Thank you very much." The doctor had booked me into the chest hospital in Brisbane for that next week. So I rang the chest hospital. I said, "This is Mr. Walter here. I believe you have a reservation on a certain bed there for Mr. Waldo. And they said, yes, we have. And I said, I just want you to cancel it. I'll give you a ring when I need you. And I put the phone in. I have never had the operation. About 17 years ago, I had a problem with my back, and I'd never had back problem at all in all my life. I used to laugh at people who always go to chiropractors, you know. I used to say, there's something wrong with you. But anyway, I had this problem, and I went to the doctor, and he gave me some physio, and I went back because I still was there. And he said, we'd better get an x-ray, and I got an x-ray, and he came, oh, he said, Mr. Ward, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have a spinal disease, a degenerative disease in your spine, for which there is no cure. I'm sorry, you know. But we do have tablets that we can give you for the pain. But I also need to tell you that within 10 years you'll be in a wheelchair. I mean, that's it. I've seen many of these cases, he said, and that's it, you'll be in a wheelchair. Well, I'm not in a wheelchair, beloved. I'm not in a wheelchair. I'm only telling you this because he will be great. This one that you birth will be great. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Yes. Not only that, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Yes. He can do anything. Yes. He can do anything. He can make cancer disappear because it's got no reality. Don't go into a hospital, somebody's got cancer, and say, hey, it's not real, you don't really have cancer. No, don't tell them like that. That's nonsense. That's stupid. I'm just telling you that in my mind, it has no reality. And when you birth the Christ, your mind will tell you the same thing. There's no reality in that thing. And you can speak to it and tell it to go and you can, whatever. So, he'll be great. And he shall be called the Son of the Most High God. Listen to this. You are birthing the Son of the Most High God. What can he do? He can do anything. Beloved, we've been playing at the game. I have. I'm not just talking about you, because you're probably doing it right here. But I was playing at the game for all of these years, all of the years before I entered into this experience. When I began to birth this Christ, I began to enter into what he is. I began to see how great he was. I began to see that he could do everything that he said he could do. Jesus said to me, Des Walter, you can do anything I can do. I said, Lord, I wish I could. He said, you can. And when I began the birth of Christ, I found I could. And I began to do it. And then he said, greater things than these. I said, Lord, just let me get through this lot first. And then I'll deal with the later, the greater thing. But I want to tell you, he will be great. He will be the Son of the Most High God. This is not the birth of flesh and blood. Hear this? This is not the birthing of some human mortal being. This is the birthing of the Son of the Most High God. And you have the privilege of birthing this one and bringing him into this world. And to become the first fruits, a people that can stand out there as an advertisement to the whole world saying, you're all going to be like this. Wow. That's what it is. That's what the manifested sons of God will do. They'll stand out there and say, hey, all you guys, have a look. This is what you're going to be. He shall be the Son of the Highest, and he will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob. Why Jacob? Who was Jacob? Jacob was a cheat. Jacob was a liar. Jacob was a shyster. I mean, he cheated his brother out of the birthright. He even deceived his poor old father because he couldn't see too good. He deceived him and got the patriarchal blessing, which didn't belong to him. It belonged to the other man because he was the elder. Even though God prophesied and said it would be his. But that wasn't the way to get it. I mean, Jacob should have been in jail. Come on. He should have been in jail. But it says here that this one that you're birthing in you, the Son of the Most High God, will rule over the house of Jacob. Because that's what we are. We're also Jacob. All of us should be in jail, according to God's plan anyway. I mean, you know what I'm saying. We haven't been the kind of people we should have been. I mean, our emotions have been out of kilter. We've gotten bad with people. And you know what Jesus said? You hate your brother. He said, you're a murderer. He said, you've only got to look at a woman and lust after her, and you might just as well have committed adultery. We've all gone astray like sheep. We've all turned to our own way. But it says here that he will rule over the house of Jacob, and he will bring your emotions under control, and the animals will be all put back in the cage, and the lion will lay down with the lamb. You see, God's preparing us. He's going to make us into the people of God. And you don't need an egg and a sperm. You can't do it with an egg and a sperm. You've got the seed. The seed is Christ. He's already in you. All you have to do is to make love with the Lord, and the conception will take place. Can you hear this? And Mary said, now listen, this is wonderful. I mean, I've never heard anybody tell me this before. I mean, this is just wonderful that you're telling me all these things, and you know, this great one would be birthed in me. But see, well, there's a little problem. I'm not married. The angel threw his hat in the air and said, well, praise God for that. Why? Because you've got to be a virgin. You can't do this unless you're a virgin. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. I'm trying to hurry through this. I know we've been a long time this morning here. Revelation chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Had the father's name written in their mind. In their mind, the father's name. That's his nature. The name is always representative of his nature. And it says in verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, they are virgins. They're virgins. They're not being defiled by women. They're not being defiled by the soulish life which produced the old man, which produced that man that had no true identity, that we thought that's who we were. And we were so convinced that we've lived out of him ever since. But these have not been defiled by women. Why? You're still virgins. You see, the one that you produced had no reality. So that hasn't counted. It had no reality. But today God says, you are to birth the reality of who you are now. Not just say, oh, I'm a new creature in Christ, but you're going to birth that new creature. For your soul is the womb of creation. God put it in every man. He put it in every man. You're virgins. This morning, you can reproduce. It says, thou art not defiled by women. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They're redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God. The first fruits unto God. Listen, the people that of the Old Testament did not know this. They did not have the privilege of entering into this experience. I know Abraham did. But see, they didn't understand. In fact, people of bygone ages, how many times have you heard this message? How many times have you heard that you were to birth the Christ? See, God's doing something today that he's never done before. Somebody reminded me about the Star Wars, and in the beginning of the Star Wars trilogy, what do they say? They say, we're going to walk where no man has ever walked. Well, I want to tell you, we're going to walk where no man has ever walked before. We are the people that are to birth the Christ. I want to tell you, Douglasville, or whatever you call this area, or Lilia Springs, or Atlanta, is going to know that there is a God that dwells in a people here. If you birth this Christ, the word is going to get around. Because things are going to start to happen that never could have happened otherwise. For if you birth the Christ, he will be great. He is the Son of the Most High God. He can do anything he wants to do, and you are birthing it. This is your identity. This is who you are, beloved. And so the angel said, she said to the angel, well, I've got a problem here because I'm not married. He said, well, Praise God for that. Praise God for that. She said, well, how is it going to be? I'm going to tell you, beloved. Listen, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Can you hear this? The Holy Ghost will come upon you. But you say to me, I've already received the Holy Ghost. Oh, you did. You mean to say you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes. Oh. Did you get excited when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes, I got goosebumps on my goosebumps. I mean, I was just so excited. I was beside myself. I mean, that power of God came on me, and I was just like a drunk person. Tell me, what happened? Why are you not drunk today? Why are you not getting your goosebumps on your goosebumps now? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you got what you wanted, didn't you? You spoke in tongues, didn't you? Wasn't that what you wanted? You got it. So thank you very much, Lord. You've really blessed me. I speak in tongues. I've been baptized in the Spirit. I can tell everybody now I've been baptized in the Spirit. But listen to me. This is what Father's saying to you today. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. And He is not going to leave you. For you will walk in a Holy Ghost experience from this day on when you begin to birth this Christ. For the Holy Ghost will come upon you. There will be the power of the Spirit of God that will invade your being and will never but never leave you. And I don't care whether it's midnight and you've got a problem and you need the power of God, it will be there. It will be there. This Holy Ghost will come upon you. And the power, what does it say here? The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Whatever you need to do, you can do it. For the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. It will remain over you. It will remain. It will not come and go. The anointing of God will not come and go. He said, once it comes, it's going to remain on you. And it will stay there until that Christ is fully and totally birthed in you. And remember, in natural birth, there's 9 months from conception until you see that little one. I'm not telling you there's got to be 9 months in this experience, but I'm just telling you, there will be a period of time when you're not going to see much, but the power of the Most High God will be upon you, and the anointing of the Spirit will be upon you, and you will know that the conception has taken place, and Christ is being formed in you. And that's what Paul said. Do I have to travail all over again until Christ be formed in you? And I want to tell you, I've come here today. I've come all the way from Australia to see the Christ birthed in you. I have no other reason for being here this morning than to see Christ birthed in you. Christ is in you? Yes, that's true. But that will not change your life. But when you enter into the Christ, that's another thing. See, so if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you've got everlasting life or eternal life. And he said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, it means that I dwell in you. Yes, Lord, well, we understood that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he said, you will dwell in me. Ah, that's the other side of the coin. That's what we need. That's why we missed out on the power of God. That's why we've not been able to function as the true children of God or as the sons of God. Because we have not found ourselves identified in the Christ himself, which we must birth within us. Beloved, this is a new day. This is a new day. You say, this is a heavy word. No, it's not. This is a light word. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. But I want to tell you today, I want you to make love with the Lord. Make love with the Lord. Just have that beautiful time of quietness in His presence. Let Him envelop you with His arms. Let Him just love you. Some of you need healing. Listen, you'll get healed while you're doing this. If you just let the Lord put His arms around you and love you and hold you tight, you'll begin to realize the very purpose why you were born. This is the reason why you have been born on this earth. This is the reason you were birthed on this earth, in order that you might also birth the Christ. This is what God said to Adam in the beginning. Be fruitful and multiply
and fill the earth. And first of all, as we birth the Christ in us, and we begin to function out of that Christ, then we will begin to reproduce the Christ in other people. Through our life, through our ministry, through whatever. May the Lord bless you today. Amen.
Thank you.